Mainframe LLC presents Edge Dancer by Brandon Sanderson. Read for you by Kate Redding. Prologue. Lift had never robbed a palace before. Seemed like a dangerous thing to try. Not because she might get caught, but because once you robbed a starving palace, where did you go next? She climbed up onto the outer wall and looked in at the grounds. Everything inside, trees, rocks, buildings, reflected the starlight in an odd way. A bulbous-looking building stuck up in the middle of it all, like a bubble on a pond. In fact, most of the buildings were that same round shape, often with small protrusions sprouting out of the top. There wasn't a straight line in the whole starving place, just lots and lots of curves. Lift's companions climbed up to peek over the top of the wall. A scuffling, scrambling, rowdy mess they were. Six men, supposedly master thieves, they couldn't even climb a wall properly.
"The Bronze Palace itself," Hookin breathed.
"Bronze? Is that what everything is made of?" Lift asked, sitting on the wall with one leg over the side. "Looks like a bunch of breasts."
The men looked at her, aghast. They were all Azish, with dark skin and hair. She was Reshi, from the islands up north. Her mother had told her that, though Lift had never seen the place.
"What?" Hookin demanded.
"Breasts," Lift said, pointing. "See? Like a lady laying on her back. Those points on the tops are nipples. Bloke who built this place must have been single for a long time."
Hookin turned to one of his companions. Using their ropes, they scuttled back down the outside of the wall to hold a whispered conference.
"Grounds at this end look empty, as my informant indicated would be the case," Hookin said.
He was in charge of the lot of them. Had a nose like someone had taken hold of it when he was a kid and pulled real, real hard. Lift was surprised he didn't smack people in the face with it when he turned.
"Everyone's focused on choosing the new Prime Akasics," said Maxin. "We could really do this. Rob the Bronze Palace itself. And right under the nose of the Vizierate."
"Is it, safe?" asked Hookin's nephew.
He was in his teens, and puberty hadn't been kind to him. Not with that face, that voice, and those spindly legs.
"Hush," Hookin snapped.
"No," Tigzik said. "The boy is right to express caution. This will be very dangerous."
Tigzik was considered the learned one in the group, on account of his being able to cuss in three languages. Downright scholarly, that was. He wore fancy clothing, while most of the others wore black.
"There will be chaos," Tigzik continued, "because so many people move through the palace tonight. But there will also be danger. Many, many bodyguards, and a likelihood of suspicion on all sides."
Tigzik was an aging fellow, and was the only one of the group Lift knew well. She couldn't say his name. That sound on the end of his name sounded like choking when someone pronounced it correctly. She just called him Tig instead.
"Tigzik," Hookin said.
"Yep, choking."
"You were the one who suggested this. Don't tell me you're getting cold now." "I'm not backing down. I'm pleading caution."
Lift leaned down over the wall toward them. "Less arguing," she said. "Let's move. I'm hungry."
Hookin looked up. "Why did we bring her along?" "She'll be useful," Tigzik said. "You'll see. She's just a child. She's a youth. She's at least 12.
"I ain't 12, Lift snapped, looming over them. They turned up
Sample complete. Ready to continue?